Welcome, Fan Lebitardians, to another episode of the Fan Lebitard Show. I am your host, Ty, once again asking you to kindly like, follow, and review this podcast. And while you're at it, feel free to follow the show on Twitter at lebitard_fan. In the spirit of being open and honest with you, my beloved listeners, I feel the need to warn you that this is a soccer episode. We chat with the cast of Relegated FC, including Steak Sauce and Isaac Kimes, as well as Mike Ryan Fan Account and Orlando. If soccer isn't your thing, that's understandable. But be aware, hidden within this episode is a truly, truly awful Arnold Schwarzenegger impression by Isaac Kimes, and you do not want to miss that. I promise you that. So with that being said, let's get into the episode. This is the Fan Lebitard Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this week's episode, we have a full house or a full set of ruins based on the Skype background that I'm looking at right now. Yes, I said Skype. We have gone all the way back to 2014, fam. Zoom is too fancy for us. But we have a full house here, and I want to go and allow everyone to introduce themselves real quick before we get into some serious soccer talk. So let's start with Isaac. Would you care to introduce yourself to the people?
Hello there, friends. This is Isaac Kimes, and very excited to be on here and recap what was a very exciting season of the Premiership, up until, of course, the point where Man City kind of wrapped it up. But I love any opportunity to talk about the game that I love, football, European football. I also have no problem calling it soccer. And we've been on Relegated podcast, FC podcast. We had a good run. We're still on it. We're going to return hard for the 2022 season. And I got one of my Relegated mates on here.
Yep. What's up, Isaac? Good to see you again, bro. It's been too long.
I know.
We're missing our glue guy, Drake, our attacking center mid. But I want to thank you guys. This is my first year following the Premier League, and you guys helped me a lot with, like, you know, learning the rules, just everything really, you know, helped me just understand the game. And I'm a soccer fan for life now because of you guys. So appreciate it.
That's Steak Sauce, by the way, because he didn't introduce himself.
You know what? I'm on like 7 podcasts a week. Everybody knows my voice.
Steak, you're also the first third time guest on this show. So two more, see, and you get a token for a free pizza party, buddy. So just keep that in mind.
I've never said no to a podcast invite.
You need to hit up Ace Home and get your cookies.
What's the weirdest podcast that you've been on, Steak? Weirdest.
There's these two idiots from Lauer After Hours called Jeff and Lou. And they do like a 2-minute podcast where 90 seconds of it is just their intro music. Then they ask you a question and then they say, that's it. So I did that for some reason. I love those guys, but they're idiots.
That's weird. Yeah, I agree. Good answer.
They're the Joel Linton and Andy Carroll of Lauer After Hours.
They just roll in at the end of the game for that extra time minutes and just kind of hope for the best.
Yeah.
Also on today's call, we got Mike Ryan Fan Account. He is here joining us for the proceedings. Mike Ryan Fan Account, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I guess follow me on the Twitter machine at Mike Ryan. Just search Mike Ryan. You'll find it. Appreciative of the Relegated FC crew here. The timing is perfect to get back into soccer as my dad has stopped working and kind of Isaac, like Sun Min, catches every game now. So he'll miss like one or two on Saturdays, but like during the week, he'll just be texting me. It's like, dude, I can't watch right now. So excited to get back into it and have another, you know, topic with my dad talk sports. So it'll be fun for sure.
And then lastly, rounding out our motley crew today, we have Orlando. Orlando, introduce yourself to the people.
What's up, guys? Just at YoungCoachOXM on Twitter. Thanks for having me. Just love talking soccer. I'll go ahead and say it now. I apologize ahead of time. I'm a huge Manchester City fan, so don't hate it. Don't hate me for it also. Isaac, come on, dude. I see the face. I even tried to justify.
Oh, yeah, shoot. You can see me. No, actually, I was up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where the law firm I worked for is headquartered, and just pulling into a gas station, which I thought this was pretty cool for kind of just being in a random gas station in Bowling Green. I saw a young man with a really cool city jersey on. Their kits are incredible. They've been for many years now, just wild variants. I congratulated him on a great season and wished him luck in the Champions League finals. So I know you got that looking forward to. And there's no hate. I considered City when I was looking at teams. I love light blue. I just love that color. But ultimately, sadly, chose Tottenham due to my Korean heritage and son. Here I am.
Makes sense.
But kudos to you. Great season. Well-deserved. Champions League final will be, I predict, a great day or a terrible day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that this podcast has a winner on it right here. I don't think the rest of us support any sort of winning clubs.
Yes.
Like, we've got me, Everton, Isaac, your Tottenham, Stake, your Newcastle, right?
Yeah.
And then Mike Ryan, fan account. I don't know who you support. Who are you a fan of?
I'm going to adopt Chelsea just because Lou sent me a hat, so I'm going to...
Just do it. Just do it. I hate them. Just go with someone, and they're a London club, and... Well, no, I mean... And then you got, of course, Mike Ryan. I mean, you got to go with Chelsea. Yeah.
The GOAT. Yeah. Yep, there we go.
Well, congratulations on Champions League. You've been reffing them for a long time. I'm glad you finally earned it.
Thank you.
All those hours of struggle as a Chelsea fan, and now they're paying off.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad about a reason to choose a team, man. I became a Newcastle fan because of DeAndre fucking Yedlin, who played 12 games, I think, this, you know.
Is he a Galatasaray or a Besiktas?
Yeah, he's like, the first. Galatasaray.
Yeah, the great Turkish clubs. They have a good league. Turkey.
They do, surprisingly. They sneaky good.
Yeah, they have a decent league.
But, of course, we did not bring everyone together here to talk about the Turkish league. We just wrapped up the Premier League season. And I thought it would be fun to do just like a little season roundup here, since we've got, you know, some dark months ahead of us, unless you're a Chelsea fan or a City fan. So I guess roundtable, who was the biggest overachiever this year in the Premier League? Who had the overall best season? Not necessarily Man City, Orlando. You can't just say them because they're expected to whip ass every year. But who overachieved actually this year?
I'll go ahead. It's Isaac. I mean, for me, it's definitely West Ham. I thought that coming into the season, I did not see them getting anywhere near the European spots. I mean, they've traditionally been middling. Moyes is a seasoned manager, but certainly not one that you consider to be someone like innovative or creative or new or attacking the way that Bielsa is with Leeds, or defensive. The way that, you know, Jose was supposed to be for Tottenham. So West Ham is my surprise overachiever of the season. Of course, getting in Lingard was certainly had to have been scoffed at by most across the world. I mean, in Lingard, you had someone that was supposed to become a next special player and just kind of petered out at United, and obviously has like some genius in him, but I don't know if he ever really had that desire, that killer instinct, and we saw that at full display at West Ham.
So it's funny that you mentioned West Ham, because I was looking today and I saw that Pep kind of unsurprisingly won Manager of the Year, and I would throw my weight 100% behind Moyes for Manager of the Year. Like, taking West Ham from 16 up to European football, that is an incredible job at a club that historically does not have that type of success.
Can you just quickly run through the signings that they've had? See what, like, so Lingard, but that was kind of mid
season, yeah, it was, right? It was right mid-season loan spell.
You had Douglas Luiz, who's been there on loan from City, but he's been there for a few years now. And holding midfield, solid. Can't complain. Was it Zucek that they just recently had? Was it in the offseason? I think he just came.
Oh, God, then, I love Zucek.
Oh my gosh, man. Just his body, his presence, it's incredible. Like, you feel that, no doubt. Just even watching And then there's someone else that I think that they've had that
Vladimir Kufal at right back. I believe he was a big signing for them as well. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but yeah, Steak, what about you?
Yeah, I was going to say West Ham too, because they hung around there all season. And, you know, this is my first year following the Premier League, so I really don't know a lot of players, but I know the stars. You know, I already knew the stars, like, coming into it, either from FIFA or from World Cups or something, you know. But, yeah, I didn't know a single player on West Ham. I never heard of anybody except for Declan Rice, you know, coming into the season. And now I think I can name Declan Rice and Jesse Lingard. So, I mean, they're just very, like, under the radar and just, like, who the hell are these guys? But they just constantly are always getting a point. They're always doing something and doing enough. And, like, I still don't know enough to judge their talent, but are they more talented than Tottenham? I wouldn't think so.
No. And that certainly is the kind of, you know, complaints that people have taught about Tottenham's performance. So no, yeah, absolutely not more talented. No way.
Yeah. No. So they finish ahead of Tottenham and Arsenal and Everton and like these powerhouses. And it's like, who the hell are these guys and how they do it? They just overachieved, I guess.
West Ham is kind of the blue collar mentality team that I think half the Premier League clubs want to strive to be. They're the ones who can't compete with your traditional top six for the big signings. And, you know, by mid to late season, injuries have racked up, the players are tired, you're just hoping to gut out a draw here and there instead of a loss. And that's kind of what West Ham was really good at this year. They didn't drop many results. And that's how they wind up in sixth, coming off a year where they, you know, they weren't super close to relegation, but they were what? They were at 39 points and Bournemouth went down at 34. So, you know, two losses there and they're down in the previous season. So this is an incredible job of, and Moyes, I think, he's not a flashy coach by any means. I don't even know if he's the best tactical coach, but he is just able to get something out of his dudes where they fight in a way that I personally have never seen my team fight. I have never seen Everton gut out a season quite like West Ham did this year. And I am envious and I can't believe I'm saying that about West Ham.
Don't worry, it won't last. So they had a nice little season. I mean, the only time I saw Tottenham fight out anything was this last freaking game of the season when they finally showed a little grit and grind like my Memphis Grizzlies and pulled out a come from behind win. But one other tangential note on West Ham, another reason I do like West Ham is they are the subject, or at least the club inspiration behind the movie Green Street Hooligans, which for those, if you're into football, if you have not seen Green Street Hooligans, I recently saw it. What a film. What a film.
Phobophile.
What's that?
Phobophile.
I have file. No idea what that means, so I'm going to go with Phob.
Shout out to Cinephobe, wherever you get your podcasts. Mike Ryan fan account, we haven't heard from you this podcast yet. What you got?
They took my West Ham one, because it seems like the top five just got mixed around, and it was really close all year. I guess my backup would be Leeds, just because this was their first year back, I think. So, and they ended up mid-table, so pretty solid there.
So, I think, is it safe to say that, like, at the beginning of the year, it looked like it was going to be a crazy season? You had the COVID protocols in place, you had the condensed schedule, no one was quite sure what happened. But by the end of the season, you know, looking over at the table, pretty regular year. Top to bottom, with a few exceptions. How the hell does this keep happening beyond just money? Isaac, you are rolling your eyes out of the back of your head at that.
I know. You know, before 2021, Tottenham was top of the table, and we're thinking that we might see something special, or at least a different type of season. Even Liverpool was higher up as well in the Champions League spots, right up there. Why does this keep on happening? But besides money, it's a really difficult question to answer. I think that there really is a culture and a psychology to some of these clubs that goes beyond the individual players in the moment. It goes to the ownership too. Of course, owners are about money. But I mean, you look at a club like Leicester and their owner and the success they've had in the 5 years in any club that wasn't, you know, the traditional 2, 3, 4 level 5 powerhouse. And Leicester isn't in the big six. And you look at their owners and what it means to the club, and having the owner die, you know, a couple of years ago in that tragic helicopter incident. There's something more to it than just pure resources. There's a belief in success that I think that the owners of Leicester have, and that I'm ready to say that the owners of Tottenham just don't have it. They don't have it. I'm ready for them to get out. I'm just tired of ENIC and Levy. I'm sick of them. I can't stand them. I'm over them. So I'm going to keep on rooting everything back to Tottenham. But if you're asking that question, yeah, I just think that there's a culture to some of these clubs, and Tottenham has a losing culture, and it's been that way for a long time.
No, I mean, I don't expect anyone on here to be an expert in every Premier League club situation. Like, I know for me personally, I'm the same way, Isaac. I can only relate to what I know, which is Everton, and that's just a world of sadness. Orlando, as far as
we're
I can
very,
tell.
Very, Everton and Spurs are basically, yep. Like, that's just like the never get over the line clubs. I mean, just all the promise, the beautiful game from time to time, very popular clubs, great fan bases, and just can't get it done.
You know, if we combined our rosters, we may be able to compete for the top four.
Sounds good.
Orlando, you're the only winner among us, as we've previously pointed out. How can our respective clubs replicate the success that City has had recently, minus the money? Because that's cheating.
I don't even know how to answer that. I just want to recap on some of the amazing things I've just heard. Also, I just want to say one word to make Isaac feel completely better. Arsenal.
Dude, okay. When Gareth Bale put in that go-ahead goal, that's exactly what I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about Europa Conference League. I was looking at the fact that they were up and that they were going to finish ahead of us for the first time in 4 or 5 years. And I fucking screamed loud as shit when he scored that goal. I was amped for the first time in months. So thank you. So, that does make me feel better.
It does, right? And also to recap, if anyone here or anyone in the world would have looked at anyone as a West Ham fan or even on that roster and you would have said the word Europa to them, they would have looked at you and said, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take it. So that speaks to them and how well they've done. But so you also say philosophy and mindset. Also to make you feel a little bit better, you kicked our ass, 2 years ago to go to the Champions League final? Left every City fan devastated.
That was the year that I thought City was for sure going to get it.
And at that point, as a City fan, I'm thinking, one, we're hoaxed. Two, Pep is a fraud. Yes, I know, crazy thought. And I should never think that. And I should never even dare say that in public. I'm embarrassed for even saying it. But I'm so pissed off that happens. But honestly, as a Tottenham fan, you should look and say, dude, you're not that far off. And I'll give you a curveball as to moving forward as a City fan, something you're not going to hear the most say as a City fan. I don't want Harry Kane. Harry Kane should stay, and they should build around him. Not much of an international concept or even a premier concept, right? Like, you don't see many teams do that, I don't think. I think they should do that for him. What, been in the club since 13, 14? Incredible. Incredible. Do him right. Build around him. Just led in goals and assists, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
What are we doing here? There's no price tag. Build around him. I think that would be the right thing to do. And I want Haaland.
Of course you do. How do you
play? Yeah, I mean, we all hope he stays, and we all hope that they do that. I think he is ready to go. I think that he doesn't see it, and I don't see it either. I just, if as long as Levy and Joe Louis and ENIC are the owners, I believe they will always prioritize profits over trophies.
I have two questions for Isaac. How do you feel about Tottenham helping Chelsea out this weekend? And your thoughts on the Super League that did not come to fruition, I guess.
I know, football's so weird like that. Especially, you just got to love it. Championship Sunday is incredible. I want to one day watch Championship Sunday on 10 TV screens. Steak, we're going to Vegas next championship Sunday, and we are going to find whatever that bar is. And we are going to watch and bet on 10 games at once. Sound good?
You had me at Vegas, man.
Let's go. So championship Sunday is incredible, and it's just the beauty and randomness of football. One of my associate attorney, AJ, is a huge Chelsea fan. He grew up in the military and lived in London for a little bit. And we were texting all back and forth throughout the game. And when he went down and when Chelsea were down, he was despondent. I did not care about, quote unquote, helping Chelsea, because I just wanted that fighting feeling, that desire, that guttural yell, that Arnold yell in Predator when he's summoning the Predator. He's got all the traps built, the fire's lit, and he is just yelling at the top of his lungs.
I'm here, kill me now. Do it.
Get to the chopper. And I wanted that feeling, and I got it. I got it. When Bell put that in, that third go-ahead goal. So I don't feel any which way about it, because that's the beauty of the Premiership. All you can really control is your own destiny as a team in those 1 through 20 spots. I definitely despise Chelsea. I love Leicester as a club, so it did kind of stink to hurt them. But we've had a good run against Leicester. As far as Super League goes, what a disaster. And also, again, what a joke that we were one of these clubs that was part of it. Again, just more indication of the true motivations of ENIC and Levy and Lewis. They don't care about the fans. They don't care about what the game is really about, which is the fans. This football and professional sport does not exist without fans. So when you try to create something like that, this amalgamation of the best clubs, you are obviously do not give a rat's ass about what the fans think, and you do not respect the history of this game. Because long before Levy was born, long before Lewis was even born, this game was going. It was up and running. We didn't need Super League. We had domestic leagues, and the domestic leagues are the heart of the game and why it matters. And you need to do well in those to be able to qualify for the Champions League. We already have a Super League. It's called the Champions League. Qualify for it. It's merit-based. It's not monetary-based. And that's a beautiful thing.
Isaac, I want to hit the pause button right there. All of those were phenomenal points. Those were great, super serious soccer talks. Can we rewind to your Arnold impersonation just 1 second?
I think it was probably terrible. And Mina and I are both terrible at accents. Like, we just don't have it in our arsenal. That is one. Like, Mina is so bad at it. I might even be better than her at these. So, I mean, there's so many great moments in Predator. When he knifes the guy, he's like, stick around. Oh, God, that was horrible. That was almost like a poo. I don't know where I'm even headed anymore. That was a little like a poo from The Simpsons, which is obviously highly, very offensive. Get to the chopper. I don't know. That's all I got. I also listened to the Rewatchables episode on Predator recently. And if you haven't listened to that, I was in tears laughing at this episode. Shea Serrano is got to be just overall one of my favorite people on earth at this point. I love that guy.
Isaac, I think we're all familiar with Mina's DMX impression, which I think is fantastic. Do you have a limited fake DMX? No?
No. I'm no more accents. No more. Thank you, but no.
Well, that was everything I wanted from this episode. So I'm cool to cut the tape right there. To bring it back around narcissistically, Isaac, I would like to perhaps offer a small reprieve for our two clubs respectively, because looking back at the 2019-2020 season, 59 points was enough to get Tottenham into sixth place. This year, 59 points was ninth. So, like, the league in general, I think, had a lot more parity. You didn't have a Liverpool going out there and scoring 99 points. There was a lot more distribution of some of those results out there. And I think, honestly, you and I are unlucky to finish where we did, because in previous seasons, what did Tottenham finish with? They finished with 62 points. 62 points should be enough to get Europe. Like, it should just be enough. And, you know,
it was a little Europa Conference League.
That's
Europa,
right. This is the first year. Yeah, right. Conference. Wow.
Does anyone know what Europa Conference League is? Can someone explain this to me?
Clearly not.
You know what? Thank God, because I was looking at that and I was like, I don't know what the hell this is. I'm going to ask the smart guys, but okay, I feel better now.
So all the banter on Twitter is like, it's like there's going to be at these stadiums with like nuclear power plants in the background or like trains going in front of the seats. That's what Europa Conference League is.
So it's just like the European CBI, basically. I think it's great that we can now compare Tottenham to like the European Loyola Marymount. I think that's great that they are able to play in the postseason.
How did Everton finish in 10th?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Everton and Tottenham, remember like when we were like battling for the first? It's just pathetic.
Because we shit the bed. God. I posted this on Twitter the other day, but Everton, as far as all the teams that let me down year in and year out, they are the ones that hurt me the most. Because, God, they just never let me have anything. Nothing. Not even for a fleeting moment. The, like, two-week span that they were top of the table this year. Spirit of the Blues was playing nonstop in the house, and then all silent for the rest of the season. Tragic shit. Stake, you are actually I believe, the saddest fan of all of us as a Newcastle fan. So how are you doing, buddy?
The way the season ended, I am incredibly upbeat and positive about Newcastle. And when it started, and they were just doing nothing. And I'm tweeting at Chris Whittingham asking, why don't they try to score goals? And he's like, that's a fantastic question. I was just like, why did I do this to myself? You know, like, it's not bad enough being a Cubs fan most of my life. Like, now I'm just doing this again. And they weren't competitive. They weren't fun to watch. And just the Twitter is like, Newcastle Twitter is one of the saddest places on the internet. It's just pictures of Steve Bruce on a head of cabbage and just weird, sad things. But no, they finished so strong. Joe Willock came on, and Joe Willock was a revelation, man. 7 goals in 7 straight games. Just like, and I don't know how much one player can impact a soccer team, but they look completely different once they got him from Arsenal. They won, what, 5 of their last 7? They should have beat Man City. They put up they scored 3 goals on Man City. You know, that should be enough to win. But they had some big wins that were fun. They had some weird losses, like to Sheffield and Bournemouth in the EFL Cup. They were just like mind-boggling. But I'm in. I think future's bright there. And I think Steve Bruce did enough to save his job, unfortunately. But if they can figure out a way to keep Joe Willock, which I doubt, I think he's going to go back to sitting on the bench for Arsenal next year. Is what it looks like. But there's pieces there, man.
So, Stake, what you mentioned reminded me of a question that I wanted to ask everybody. You know, throughout this incredibly long season, there are moments that every team has to hold on to. And I'm curious what y'all's moments are from this season that you really can take and move forward and be like, no matter what else happened in the season, we had that moment, and that was awesome.
I'm going to go. I got a little recency bias. I like to bet on soccer a little bit. I had the Sheffield game on May 19th. Had a $50 bet on Joe Willock to score the first goal, which paid 10-1. I also had $1,000 on Newcastle to win the game, which they did. So I was laying in bed with my dogs watching soccer for 90 minutes, and I made $1,500. And that Joe Willock goal just, I was like, yes, that's my guy. This is my team. Money in my pocket. Let's go.
I can't top that. Isaac, you got anything better than that?
I definitely can't top that either. But I would point out that, you know, for as shameful as Newcastle's season was, at least the way you framed it initially, I mean, they were 12th, 2 spots behind Everton.
Yeah. I spent most of the season trying to figure out if I could still cheer them on if they get relegated. I'm like, how the hell am I going to watch Championship next year? No, you know, if I'm allowed to get a new team. And then all of a sudden they're 12th. They just, you know, just look a couple spots behind Everton.
They finished strong. There's not many. I mean, Wish it had been the Carabao Cup final. Would have been nice to have finally lifted a trophy. I guess this is just like so despondent. Son getting the four bagger against Southampton with every assist coming from Kane was just insane.
Isaac, you sound so sad talking about Tottenham. You sound defeated, my guy. Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
Yes. Yes, I do. No, I was amped yesterday, and that was cool, and we needed a strong finish like that. It's just we had the elements. We had Pochettino. We had the squad depth, or we should have had the squad depth, and the spend just did not occur. We went well over a year without buying players, and it's just the opportunity missed, right? Like in life, you just have these windows, and I've said, and we've gone back to ENIC now three times, at least I have. Like you missed the window, get out. You've lost. You lost the fans. You've lost the club. Like you lost Harry Kane. Even Harry Kane. And like I get, build around Harry Kane. He's done. He's not putting up with this anymore. And I mean, I just don't see how he stays. And I know he's locked in a contract, but I just don't see how he stays. So no, I mean, for me, being first for a little while was cool. I knew it wouldn't last. But yeah, no, Son and Kane had that preternatural Jedi-like connection. And that was really cool. And against Southampton, Son getting his four bagger, first hat trick of his premiership career. And, I just try to focus on him. He brings me a lot of joy, in the club, and some other players have brought me some joy in the club. But I mean, there's so much dead weight at that club too. And I know every club has it, but there just hasn't been that refresh. And, there's a lot of sad, pathetic players that need to go.
Mike Ryan fan account.
Great question. I just turned it so freaking dark.
It's all right. I feel
That's being Tottenham. Like we take something that should be beautiful and we make it terrible.
The stadium's
gotten us nothing. We've got no rent revenue off of it, right? Because of the pandemic. Instead of building a winning club, we built a freaking stadium.
I feel like I need to pass you some of my antidepressants, Isaac. You seem so sad.
Hey, let me lighten it up here because I thought of another moment, the best Newcastle moment of the season for me. If you guys want to go on YouTube,
the penalty for Tom when they beat Tom
the Matt Ritchie own goal against Fulham.
Oh goodness!
It is the worst own goal you ever see because not only is Matt Ritchie completely out of place, the ball smacks him directly in the face and goes into the net, and it was just. That was like the low point of my fandom where I'm like, what am I doing cheering on these guys? But now in hindsight, I can look back and slap at Richie. So if you need a little pick me up from that darkness, just put in Matt Ritchie on goal to YouTube.
Mike Ryan fan account, longtime Chelsea supporter. What about you? What was your favorite moment of the season?
Anytime Conte touches the ball, he's my favorite.
Oh, man.
When they qualified for Champions League.
And then Orlando, we're gonna skip you. Fuck you. We know what yours is, bitch. No, go ahead. No, actually, go ahead.
It wasn't winning the Prem because that honestly, it's gonna sound so conceited, but I don't really even care about that. I really Aguero, him scoring and going out the way that he did. I thought that was memorable. Looking back on a great career that he had for us. So Barcelona, right? I think that's what it's rumored to be. Next move. So,
I stand by my fuck you that I threw out there. That's unnecessary, unnecessarily rude to me. Haven't we dealt with enough this season, Everton? You have to just destroy us going out like that. Like once he came on, I was so sure he was getting a Hattie. Thank God for Jordan Pickford, man. That should have been 10-0 that game. Fuck me. Mine for Everton, it was either being top of the table and having a Spirit of the Blues charting for a brief period in time. That was very fun. Had never experienced that before. And then finally winning a derby against Liverpool. First time at Liverpool since 99. That was an absolute joy to behold. And I was not sure that was going to happen. So very happy with that. But now begins the best time of season for fans like me, and I suppose for some of us here, it's almost transfer window season, boys. This is when hope springs eternal once again. It's time to look forward. Do you guys have any wish list items real quick before we let you all head out of here?
I wanted to ask you guys what I should be hoping for, since I really don't know what to expect. So Matt, I know Newcastle needs some defenders, probably a couple fullbacks. But what name should I be on the lookout for, or should be crossing my fingers for?
I mean, we
silence.
Just silence.
If I may speak on behalf of Everton, we will gladly gift you Mason Holgate for very little money. He's not going to shore up your defense, but he's a body.
I just want Joe Linton off the team.
Why?
You guys,
that guy's not good at anything. I don't think he's good at anything, not even just in soccer, like just in his life. I don't think he's good at anything. He sucks at video games, can't cook.
What?
You can just tell. There's another good moment this season where he tried to do a bicycle kick, he just fell on his ass and missed the ball. he sucks.
Terrible at video games, terrible cook, safe to assume terrible lover, terrible at everything.
Runs yellow lights.
Joe Linton, small dick energy, confirmed. Isaac, what about you? What's your wish list?
All right, so this is totally not dealing with the podcast. I tweeted a little while ago, but this just happened. So this is just like, we're talking live right now. So I tweeted like 3 weeks ago about mowing the lawn at 7 a.m. in the morning and my neighbor like making a big fit about it. I was just on my back patio and our houses are close together. And, you know, it's a pod. Things are a little lively. Maybe I'm cussing a little bit about he's out and about gardening. It's 7:41 here. And he asked me to be more quiet because we can hear him. He can hear us. What do we think about this guy?
I'd sue him.
I don't know.
Do you want to put him on blast right now? You want to drop his name right here? Let's roast his ass.
Not Doc.
Then the Lower Rangers after.
No.
I think it's fair that we got to ask a few more questions before we make a judgment on these dynamics. Like, what's the proximity here? Are we talking like, at a volume 7? Can someone hear you? Like,
The houses are close,
kind of thing.
The houses are pretty close. Okay, and I'm pretty naturally loud, so I acknowledge that. But like, if you're worried about quiet, go move into the damn country. We're in a suburb. The houses are close together. Okay, like you chose this life, and I'm sorry that you happen to end up next to some young, loud neighbors. Like, it is what it is. Like, that's just bad luck, I guess, for you. And he's just some dork. And he worked on the other side of what I do his whole career. He was an insurance adjuster. He knows I'm a plaintiff's lawyer. He knows I go after and mess up people like him. And I think he's holding it against me. I really do. My wife is telling me to calm down, and she's ready to eat dinner. So Tottenham wish list is just get a couple pieces on defense and a couple pieces in midfield. Obviously, I have some players in mind, but you know, I don't think we'll pay for them. I'll just make it dark again one more time. Skriniar would be great from Inter, but I mean, he's won a league title. What's he going to come to Tottenham for? There's a lot of midfielders out there that would be awesome. Sabitzer, RB, we've been linked to him. He's over at RB Leipzig, so. I don't know. We'll see.
Isaac, after you hop off here, DM me your address. I'm going to mail you some Prozac. I think you might need it more than me. We're going to get you straightened out, buddy.
I'll give it a shot. We'll see. Yeah, that's what Tottenham will do to you. It'll get you on antidepressants. So I've really enjoyed it. You guys have a wonderful evening.
You too, man. Have a good one.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Later, man.
All right. Orlando, wish list. What the hell could City possibly want?
I think we're going to get rid of a few things before we do that, to be honest. I'm fearful of Cancelo leaving. Not because his contract is up or anything, but because we look at play time at his true position, which is right back, and Kyle Walker doesn't look to be going anywhere. And he's been playing left back, which is good, but he's not going to be a long-term answer there. So left back is the answer,
is trying to upgrade potentially. We've been linked to a few guys out of Portugal. And then it's that striker position. You can't fulfill Aguero has meant to us, but I would say go younger, which is why earlier I mentioned let Kane stay. The concept would meet would my ultimate dream would Haaland, right? Get Haaland there, striker, get a good quality young left back, and then move on from Zinchenko, Cancelo, maybe keep one for back up for rotation. I don't know. Long-term centered. I don't know. We can go on long-term plans, but that's it right there. I'd say Haaland and left back.
Mike Ryan fan account, close us out. What do you want for Chelsea moving forward?
This guy I just looked up, Jules. I don't know how to say his last name, but from Sevilla. We'll take him.
Koundé.
Yeah. There we go.
Center back. Yeah. French center back. Yeah. Really good.
I'll be rooting for it.
Well, folks, I don't know if this has been an enlightening soccer conversation. I'm inclined to say probably not, but I think it's been an entertaining one, no less. So once again, roundtable, real quick, where can everybody find you guys? Orlando, let's start with you. Where can the people find you if they want to get some more of this hot take action? Some more insufferable City fan.
Oh, gosh, yeah. At YoungCoachOXM on the Twitter machine. That's it. That's the only way you can find me.
Mike Ryan fan account, same with you. Longtime legacy Chelsea supporter. Where can the people get your Chelsea opinions?
Mike Ryan fan. Just search that and you'll see the Teletubby.
And then Steak Sauce, where can the people go to get your Newcastle news or whatnot?
I am at I am Kevinito on Twitter. Everybody go listen to Jeff and Lou Have a Podcast.
Plugging it.